It's my pleasure to welcome you to the Clark Howard Show, where our mission is to serve you and empower you to make better financial decisions in your life. Today's episode, I have a special warning for you about an old nasty practice that is rearing its head again as people are facing a little more difficulty with their wallets. And yesterday I talked about my love for prefab homes, for components of homes being built in a factory, not necessarily the whole home, but components. How about having an off-the-grid home? This is something that was kind of like a way, way out thing 10 years ago and is actually becoming more common. I want to tell you all the ways it's going to fit in our lives moving forward. So, debt collectors, tough job, terribly difficult job. Who gets up in the morning and says, I can't wait to have a call from a debt collector? Nasty, tough job. And a lot of people do that job properly, with respect. They do it ethically. But there are also those players in the industry, both the companies and individuals, that play dirty, 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 dirty. And you got to know that this is one that if you meekly give in to a dirty collector, it can really hurt you. And I need to talk to you about something called refreshing the debt. Let me tell you how this plays. So a collector will either, like a snake, pretend to be your friend, or will instead be various forms of intimidating. And they'll say, this debt, you know, you just need to show some good faith on it. How about even a dollar? And or $10 or $5 or whatever. And all they need is to get you to pay anything at all. Anything. And in most states in the country, a debt that is long gone outside of what's known as statute of limitations, meaning that your legal obligation to pay that debt has ended. Your moral obligation has not ended, but your legal obligation to pay that debt has ended. If they can get you, con you, to pay even one penny against it, in most states, suddenly the statute of limitations eliminated. Typically in states, it's 3 years to 6 years, depending on the kind of debt. There are some situations where it's longer, others where it's shorter. But there's a period of time that a collector can come after you with a collection attorney, sue you against the debt, get a judgment against you, whatever. But the law recognizes that people go through rough patches in their lives and that it should not follow them for the rest of their lives. And that's why state by state, all the states have the statute of limitations. The period of time that someone can come after you legally, can sue you, and then get a judgment and then come and seize your paycheck, seize money out of an account, seize your assets, whatever. So what collectors have been doing that are unethical is they tell you whatever fish story they dream up to get you to pay any money against an old debt. So let's say the statute of limitations in your state is 4 years. They'll start this after the 4 years is run and they've lost their leverage over you. At 7 years, they've completely lost their leverage because it can't even be on your credit report anymore. So they get you to pay even that $1, and then it's like the original bad debt happened today. And then they immediately file suit against you to get that judgment. Dirty pool, dirty pool, dirty pool. This has nothing to do with whether if you're back on your feet, you can afford to pay a debt. I want you to pay your debts. But if you're in a situation financially where you're being tricked into more hardship, this is no good. Don't ever fall for this. Don't ever fall for, hey, if you could just pay us a token amount against this. That is all about cheating you. That is all about lying to you. That is all about being able to take advantage of you and your wallet. Know this, be aware of it, and never fall for it. Krista?
Okay, Eric in California says, on your show, credit scores are often a topic for discussion. In fact, you occasionally offer information regarding your own personal credit score. What is the relevance of a credit score for someone like yourself who carries no debt? Does a credit score have any relevance for someone in your situation?
Actually, it does, because it affects whether you can qualify for auto and homeowners insurance and what rates you'll pay for it. What is on your credit report, not your score, but what's on your report could affect you in employment. That's not an issue for me. But I do use credit cards. You know, I use them as a payment system and pay the balance in full. And the credit card companies check my credit score every single month, as they all do. Anybody who has credit cards, they're checking your score every month. They're subscribing to a scoring outfit or a bureau and getting those scores. So if my score goes in the toilet, what will happen is suddenly I'll go to use one of my cards one day, and they'll say, you can't use that card. It's closed. Or whatever, they'll cut my limit, whatever. So if you're going to use credit at all, which I do using credit cards, then I've got to maintain good payment practices, make sure I'm using low levels of available credit. And again, even if you don't use them, you feel like you shouldn't have to worry about it, it will affect you on other things you do in your life that are not directly credit. So that's why that is important.
And you always use it responsibly. You pay off, although you pay your stuff off in full in advance every month.
Sometimes,
you really like having a high score. This is from Hank in North Carolina. I currently have enough cash on hand to pay off a $175,000 mortgage on my home that's worth $700,000. I'm 1 year into a 15-year fixed mortgage at 2.125%.
That's a really great rate.
Should I invest my money in the market or pay off my mortgage? This would free up $14,000 per year. The math leads me to keep paying on my low rate, but there seems to be a personal value in having no debt. This move would leave me with 9 months living expenses and a healthy 401k, no other debt, period.
So this is both a psychological question and a practical one. At just over 2% interest rate, you know, we've gotten used to not being able to earn any real money on our savings. Now we're starting to see that. I mean, people buying 1 year treasuries are earning over 3% now. You can put money into Series I savings bond at this moment, earn over 9% with no risk. So having that, if you just look at the dollars and cents, you're likely to have a nice spread what you can earn having money not even at risk in the market, just put it in various savings instruments. Having said all that, there's such a great psychological advantage to being mortgage debt free, owning your home free and clear. Roughly a third of people do that. And so there'd be nothing wrong with you doing that. And every month moving forward, what was the amount of the payment? $14,000 a year. So roughly $1,200 a month. You could dollar cost average into an index fund, or if you don't have a Roth IRA and you're working, into a Roth IRA. And so there would be, you're giving up something really great. That 2% loan sounds like you don't need that money, and you could build up more and more reserves and other things. So whichever you choose to do, I'm absolutely fine with.
From Holly in Georgia, can you explain what impact a credit card that has, quote, flexible spending with no preset limit will have on a person's credit score?
Okay, so we're talking American Express. I don't know if there are any others that don't have the preset spending limit. So this is how it plays with an American Express card. The credit bureaus don't know what to do because they don't know what your limit is, because there is no stated limit. So what they do is whatever bill you've had in a particular month, it's your high bill, they approximate, typically in the credit reporting industry, they'll approximate that as your limit. And so that 1 month, it'll look like you used 100% of your credit limit on an American Express. Going forward, though, if you had a month with a really high spend and then most months you don't, then it'll look like you're not using a lot of your credit limit going forward. So it is an unusual kind of problem for the credit bureaus. And if you only had an American Express card, it could temporarily, at a month that you had a real high charge volume, it could temporarily really skew your credit score. If it's just one of many credit cards you have that all have nice credit limits, then that anomaly about how the American Express ones report would not harm you.
Okay. Michael in Montana says, hi, Clark. When is your autobiography coming out? If not soon, can you dedicate a podcast to the origin story of the Clark Empire? Always a great listen. Thank you for the frugality stories. They make me feel human.
So, you know, back in my years of radio syndication, one time each year we used to do a long form thing where I would do my autobiography, which I always felt funny doing.
It's so interesting, though.
Yeah, but it feels really weird to talk about yourself that way. And if you ever decide, Krista, because you're the boss.
We're doing it.
Okay. All right. So Krista has spoken. The decision has been made. So how would you like it if you had no bill to a utility company for your home? There are actually people doing that now. I want to talk about all the changes coming and how power is supplied to our homes, and that's coming up. There's a movement afoot in the United States to de-grid, and it's one of those things that starting off with a very small number of people, and it's not clear if it's going to become the way things are done or will remain something that's just a little speck of the homeowner market in the United States. But there are a lot of things happening that are getting people to think, wait a minute. Do I really want to be dependent on long lines coming from some power company with then lines coming to my neighborhood and then a line coming to my house? And so people are able today to de-grid, particularly if you're doing a new home. You can do what's called passive home, which is something I think I first talked about 20 years ago, but it's always been this little, tiny, minuscule micro part of how construction is done in the United States. But it's where you build a house that needs virtually no energy. I've talked before about how some Habitat affiliates around the country do that to make for their Habitat homeowners utility bills going forward. They're still hooked up to the grid, but utility bills going forward, even in a peak summer month or a really cold winter month, the utility bills are never more than $50 in a month for a roughly 1,500 square foot home. And so with passive construction, which adds almost nothing to the cost of a dwelling, you just do things in the building of a property that make it ultra, ultra energy efficient. But the big push with the de-gridding has been as a result of the wildfires in the Mountain West and in California. And in California, people have suffered from rolling blackouts where in order to prevent wildfires being spread by electricity running through long lines, they just shut down power for hours, even days, to particular areas to try to reduce the spread of wildfire or prevent wildfire. And with the Western drought, people have been more and more concerned about being without power for a while. That's why so many people have been putting in generators or solar with backup batteries, but they're still hooked up to the grid. But people are even going a step beyond. They are building a home passively with solar and de-gridded. They put in solar, they put in batteries, and they build a passive home. And so the demand pull for the energy needed to run a home is so small that they're able to do it just with those components. More money up front, a lot cheaper over time. So this also allows people who, let's say, want to build in a rural area where the cost of running the utilities to a new property from the power company or the EMC can be an enormous expense. So they will build a passive home with solar, with batteries, and they don't ever have to pay that huge expense to a utility that can be tens of thousands of dollars to have that hookup done to your home. I mean, we have options today that who could have imagined? Think about that these electric pickup trucks from Ford and GM are going to be able to run people's homes in a power outage for up to 3 days and run all the systems of the home for those 3 days. Because these pickup trucks, the Silverado that's coming, the electric Silverado, and the F-150 Lightning, have such large battery packs that they can power an entire dwelling for multiple days. I mean, we have changes coming that are fantastic. There are a number of experiments that would allow Tesla owners that have significantly smaller battery packs than we're talking about in the pickup trucks to be able to use their vehicle as temporary power backup to their homes. I read the other day about how older electric vehicle batteries are now being repurposed as battery backups for homes and businesses. I mean, there's so many things coming that are going to allow us to be less dependent on a central utility. And I think this is a great idea because you got to know foreign powers that hate us, think Russia, China, whoever else, that they are going to, at some point, going to want to attack our power grid. And they're going to take us into a situation where we'll be plunged into darkness. Having the ability to continue to operate your business or continue to live in your home with access to energy is going to be a key thing for us as part of homeland security and also what's going to make sense in our own homes. Decentralizing how we get power is a big part of protecting our country from people who wish us harm, and specifically nations that wish us harm. So this is good stuff, and not for everybody, not necessarily the cheapest thing to do, as Krista found out at your own home. You're still on the fence about putting in solar with battery backup. Mm-hmm. This has been going on a year and a half?
Probably a year.
Year. And you're just not there yet.
We'll see.
Okay.
This is from Roe in California. Thanks to you, I've been paying a lot more attention to my credit score. I've made great improvements, and I want to buy a home in the near future. My credit fluctuates between the low 700s. I've been told by a friend about these credit card trade lines on a Facebook group. Basically, it's a group that lets you borrow credit cards with excellent long credit history, as well as high credit limits, and they'll add you as a user so it will show in your FICO score. I'm not too familiar with this practice, but I've read great reviews and comments online. Wondering what your take is.
Okay. Ro, I'm shallow breathing. Taking a deep breath. Okay. So, like a parent helping a kid establish a credit identity by making them an authorized user on a card. They don't even give them possession of, or many times they don't even know that the parent's done it, but they're helping them establish credit. That's a fun thing. Renting other people's credit reputation is dangerous, dangerous, dangerous for you because you become an authorized user for them. Let's say they don't pay their bill and you've paid for them to be lending their reputation. Well, guess what? Your credit suddenly, instead of looking better, looks terrible. There's too many variables with this, too much risk buying access to people's credit reputation, sight unseen, not knowing who they are.
You have to give them your social security number, of course.
Yes, you do, yeah. Because they have to, in order for it to be reported on your credit, The credit card company has to have your social security number. So yes, there's also the enhanced risk of identity theft. On every possible grounds, Stay away. This is a bad idea.
Chris in Kansas says, I've had two instances in the last 2 months where I received a bank statement from major institutions about my new bank account with a $0 balance. The problem is I never open these accounts. I've called the banks to close them and notify them I never open the accounts. Luckily, my credit is already frozen. I find it interesting the accounts are the new bank checking and savings account offerings. Have you heard of any new information about banks opening accounts without authorization?
Not in years. This was a scandal probably about 2005. And then there was the Wells Fargo scandal that went on for years from 2001 to, I think, 2012. But this is a very, very rare occurrence. I'm concerned because it's not one bank, it's two different ones, that somebody has been up to mischief. And I would like you to familiarize yourself with check systems is one of the services. There are others that banks call upon to check background to open accounts for people.
We should spell that.
And so I would like you to make sure that you maybe check to see what's on your check systems report. It's chexsystems.com, mm-hmm. I assume.
It is.
And see what they've got on you. And they have a briefing on identity theft, right to dispute anything being there. And they do more, they do multiple things. They also are a check verification service, but you have a report with them. You can see what's on the report. And that would be a valuable thing for you to do. I would also contact the two banks involved and ask what database they use. Do they use check systems? They use somebody else. If both these banks happen to be using a different database service, I would contact them, see your report with them, and there should be a process where you can freeze the ability for someone to open a new bank account with a check of that service. Because I think there's something more going on than this being used as a solicitation tactic. Because if it was a solicitation tactic that these two giant banks that you've named were doing, we would have heard of it by now, unless you're the first person that they're doing it to. So please let us know what you're able to find out, because that would be helpful to me if this is becoming part of a pattern. And I want to thank you for being with us today on this episode. If you've enjoyed this podcast, even if you haven't, review us. Share us with other people if you've enjoyed it, if you think they would benefit from listening. And remember, we are here around the clock to serve you and your wallet at Clark.com and ClarkDeals.com. Have a great day.